Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to this beautiful Saturday. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. 60 something degrees. The wind is blowing just two miles per hour from the west. It's just a light breeze outside. It's a gorgeous day up in the East Coast. So all you snowbirds, y'all kiss my ass lying down in the Florida. It's all right up north right now, at least for another 2-3 days. Then it'll probably be cold as hell come Monday, Tuesday, but we gonna live with what we got. What's buzzing, cousin?
Hey, I can't call it, cuz. How you doing today? Welcome, family.
Hey, I'm good.
To the show.
Good. Well, happy belated Turkey Day. Happy belated Turkey Day. Gobble, 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 go.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
A lot of people hit me up, fam, on Thanksgiving. A lot of people hit me up. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. My dog, I don't say that. I can't say that. And it was eating at me, like, all fucking day. Like, all day. I'm like, why are y'all just going around with this happy Thanksgiving shit, happy Thanksgiving shit? Yo, do you realize that was the day that this country, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Land was stolen. Well, it wasn't even a country. This land, I should say, this land, what the hell? Land was stolen. You know, people, mass murders. Disease, ravage, people who lived here peacefully for thousands of years, and y'all just running around talking about happy Thanksgiving. What the hell are you that? What you thankful for? What you happy for? What are you happy for? Then, text message. Dog, let me tell you something. My man put it out there. My man said, yo, group text messages suck. I totally agree. But here's my play on that, and this is what I was going to say. This is what I said to him. I said, yo, group text messages are cool if everybody in the damn group knows one another. They're not cool when you're putting people's information out there. And I'm like, who in the hell is this? Like, yo, I'm getting phone numbers. I'm like, oh, yo, what is this? And then, you know, no one takes the time to be thoughtful when they respond to the group text. So they respond to everybody versus simply responding to the individual that sent it. You know what I'm saying? Directly. So it's like, yo, I'm getting group texts back from, I'm getting replies back from the sisters I know, thank you, gorgeous, thank you. I'm like, yo, who is this? Like, you don't know me like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's, it just killed me, son. It killed the whole. Then I had to work. You know what I'm saying? Still at work. I'm working for the next 8 days straight. So it's like, son, for real. Like, I ain't getting no gobble on. Then y'all going to beat me over the head with this, you know, happy Thanksgiving joint. And then you're going to kill me with the freaking group text messages. And I know I'm not the only one. So don't be looking around like, you know, this dude is crazy. No, I'm not crazy. A lot of other people chimed in too, saying that they totally agree with what he was saying. And then he chimed in what I was saying, like, yo, you are absolutely right. You know, like, if it's your fam, if it's your people, if it's, you know, a tight-knit group of cats that know one another and you send a shout-out like that, then it's cool. But once you start adding other people's information to the mix, first off, it gets confusing because I'm like, okay, who in the hell sent it? Who sent it? Then it's like, okay, who are you responding to? And then it's like, okay, who in the hell are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, who are you? Is this just me?
Nah, it's not just you, man. I think, you know, we did this before with at my softball team. And, like, without introduction, yeah, I get all these, you know, 1,000 responses to somebody's message. And again, I don't know who this person is. I don't recognize the phone number. The name isn't saved. The name and number isn't saved into my phone. So I don't know who to respond to, who not to respond to. And eventually it got frustrated because my mailbox is inundated with emails and text messages that I don't recognize, you know, from people I don't recognize. So like you said, I mean, I think the bottom line is that definitely if it's people that I recognize, then yeah, we can laugh it up and chop it up. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what I can't say, what I cannot, you know, what I can say. So you gotta be real careful with people that you don't really necessarily know because you might, you know, hurt somebody's feelings, whatever the case would be. And people get really offended through text messages really fast. So it's not a safe thing for a whole bunch of group messages for people that you don't, you know, recognize. But people do it, man, without thinking. And, you know, I don't know, it's just the reliance on the text messages anyway. I hate doing a whole bunch of text messages to begin with. But, you know, that's what people do. So
I thought it was just me. I thought it was just me with that. You know what I'm saying? Because there was a time when I told people straight up, don't text me. Call me. And then money got tight. This is back in the day. Then money got tight. So I bought this device, and it didn't allow me to call anybody. Only thing I could do was text. And I used to burn people up that. You know what I'm saying? However, I still use proper grammar, diction, and punctuation. Nowadays, like, jokers will burn you up with bullcrap via text and then cop attitude when you don't understand what the hell it is they're talking about. Because the sad thing is, 9 times out of 10, they type in you mid-thought. So they come in with the words, but the words are missing. And so you sitting there like, okay, what the hell does this mean? And then they like, oh, well, you know what I meant. No, I didn't know what the hell you meant.
I don't know what the hell you mean. That's why I said.
And what you typed didn't make any damn sense. You know what I'm saying? And then, yo, don't get me started with the autocorrect. Because I didn't try to say hell 1,000,001 times, but the autocorrect always says hell to he will, heal. But I'm like, are you serious right now? Yeah. It's always H-E. apostrophe LL. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no, that's not. I wanted to say hell. It needs to say hell. Make it say hell. You know, I didn't say hell and everything.
It was Verizon,
it's still
right?
Autocorrect. Yeah,
so that's why. So Verizon's too sophisticated. You know what I'm saying? I'm with Sprint. You know what I mean? So Sprint is along with Boost Mobile, and that's the hood phone service. You know what I mean? Everybody, I know the hood is with Sprint, you know? So their towers pick up autocorrect a little different than Verizon's phones pick up autocorrect. You know, Verizon's so sophisticated. That's more corporate. You know, corporate people rock with Verizon. You know what I mean? The hood people rock with Sprint, T-Mobile, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So I think if you were with T-Mobile, you would get everything that you want to spell. All the cuss words, everything will autocorrect automatically for you, and you'd be good to go. You know what I mean? But so maybe you should look into that.
Okay. Maybe I do need to change it up a little bit and switch the roof.
Yeah.
With the woo, the woo. But you know, but for now, that's what I'm rocking with. And I'm telling you, I am going to yell, scream, kick freedom as soon as I get out of this damn contract with them, because the amount of money that I pay for data is ridiculous. And Lord, they just wait for your ass to go over. Oh, they just—I think somebody just sit there and be like, "Nah, yo, send one more tweet."
They probably send you one. They send you one to make sure you send one back. Like, who's this?
Oh yeah, we got your ass next.
I don't know you, man, but we got you though.
Straight gangster, straight gangster. Speaking of gangster, some things happened at a Trump rally this week, and you wanted to speak on that. So. There was a Black Lives Matter individual that was in the crowd of a Trump rally. And during that, he was struck and very much. Go ahead, fam. You can tell the story better than I. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You talking about.
No, go ahead. Finish.
You talking about the guy from the Trump rally?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so this gentleman. I want to say his first name is Mauricio Southall. He was at a Trump rally. He's a Black Lives Matter Black. Maybe added a little bit to it. You know what I mean? I doubt it. But he's down in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's at a Trump rally, but he represents Black Lives Matter. So of course he's not there to support Trump. You know, he's there to kind of heckle and stuff like that. The same thing that every president has gone through for centuries. They always get heckled and that you deal with it, right? On this particular day, Mr. Southall, according to his reports, now the original report said that he was heckling them, he was loud, he was obnoxious, he was being rude, disrespectful, and he ended up getting jumped on. According to Mr. Southall, he's saying that he merely he did shout some things out, but it was peaceful up until the point where he approached the stage where Donald Trump was to ask him a question about his deglamorization of the Black Lives Matter movement. And he said once he approached it, that's when he was approached by some other some Trump supporters, who then in turn went ahead, physically assaulted him. He said one lady kicked him in the stomach. He had ladies calling him monkeys, people calling him nigger. You know, and he was beat down for a few minutes. He said that police didn't even step in until he actually got up to defend himself, and then that's when the police officer actually stepped in and tried to mace him. So I actually reached out to Mr. Southall. I got in contact with his lawyers, and we're working on getting him on the show. But you know, they stand behind their story, and that they were attacked first, and then he retaliated. And once he went to retaliate, that's when the police stepped in and tried to intervene. But what bothered me about the situation is Donald Trump's reaction to it is because. His reaction to it was, well, he was heckled, he was heckling, he was loud, he was obnoxious, he was rude, he deserved to get roughed up. Now, this is the same man who was condemning everything the Black Lives Matter stand for, and who's saying that, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is, you know, a bunch of thugs, a bunch of hoodlums ready to excite violence. And this is what Donald Trump just did. By that statement alone, Donald Trump just empowered every white person out there to beat up or assault any black person who is yelling, screaming, protesting. And it's dangerous because when you see what's going on in the news now, like we talked about this before last week, man, and every time we talk about it, it seems like I see more and more and more white people just popping off with African-Americans just because. There was a gentleman last week who got shot. Now, admittedly, he snatched someone's purse, but when he went to flee, a young lady shot at him. Now, she would have shot him. He wasn't a threat to anybody. He wasn't attacking the people who tried to stop him. He saw he was outnumbered, so he tried to run away. Young lady pulled a gun out, tried to shoot him. She missed him. Thank God, I don't know where the hell she got a gun from, but, you know, she missed him, and the police were able to apprehend him. But now she's facing attempted murder charges.
She's facing attempted murder charges?
Yeah, she's facing attempted murder charges.
Okay.
But, and I don't know how they jumped there, but I really don't care. But the fact of the matter is, man, it's a bad trend of what's going on when you have a presidential candidate exciting violence, supporting violence, and condoning violence for people who are nonviolent. You know, and the good thing about it is that what I've noticed in everything, these protesters, Black Lives Matter movement, the 500 men movement, everything that's going on, all these peaceful protesters are remaining peaceful. You don't see any black people retaliating. You don't see us going out there getting into scuffles and a whole bunch of fist fights with people. So that's the good thing about what's going on with the entire movement, is that we're remaining peaceful while these people are continuously growing more aggressive towards African Americans out here fighting.
And you said that's a good thing.
What's that?
I said you said that's a good thing.
A good thing that we're remaining peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing because if you huh?
I said okay.
Do you disagree?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
You
why
know,
you feel that?
Now the peace change doesn't happen. Diamonds happen because the change comes under pressure. You see what I'm saying? The best way to hit folks nowadays is what's happening in Michigan right now. So Laquan McDonald, Illinois.
Minnesota.
Laquan McDonald.
I'm sorry, yeah, Chicago. Yeah.
Was killed in Chicago by a policeman, shot 16 times, unnecessarily. If he hit him two times, he double-tapped him fine. But this mug kept pouring into him, even after this kid was on the ground. I mean, he was
on
totally
the
on the ground.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he kept pouring into him. That wasn't he wasn't neutralizing the threat, anything of that nature. And I still see where the threat came from, because from my vantage from the video, he was shot. And that's when he turned around with the weapon, because
when he got
the bullet
shot,
struck
like,
his ass
around.
Right, the bullet struck him around. He was literally walking away. So, you know, what they're doing in Chicago, they said, okay, well, you know what, we're gonna hit the Miracle Mile and we're gonna lock this motherfucker down. Now, if you've never been to Chicago, the Miracle Mile is a luxury area downtown. I mean, you name a store and it's on the Miracle Mile. You name a designer, they're on the Miracle Mile. Garrett's Five Point, shout out to Garrett for the Chicago Mix, is on the Miracle Mile. And they just lined up and shut that mug down in force. Now, that's going to get some people to the negotiating table. And it's going to get some people to really start to think and talk. Emanuel right now, Rahm Emanuel, Mayor of Chicago, former White House, no, he wasn't the press secretary. Rahm ran the White House, so I'll think of the title. Give me a second. It'll come back to me. But anyhow, Rahm is now getting pressed from all angles to make swift changes, because these folks are lining up and hitting folks where they live, which is the pocket. Now, I'm not a violent person, not at all. But I do understand that sometimes that is the only thing that other people understand. So, if that is a last resort, then let it be such. I do not think it should be a first resort. No, it's not. But if it is a last resort, then let it be so. I say all the time, and I hold this true, you know what I mean? I think I would have rocked with Martin back in the day up to a point, and then I would have jumped ship and been like, yo, this shit ain't working. Y'all motherfuckers ain't pouring shit on my head, and I'm just going to sit here. You know what I'm saying? That's just not me. First off, I'm not not going to force you to take my money. That's number one. I am not going to do that. You don't want my money? Okay, no problem. I will leave your ass, go to Mr. Ben's and spend my money with Mr. Ben. I'm fine with that. I am fine with that. We ain't going to fight. We ain't going to argue. I'm not going to sit here for hours on end silently or chanting, holding the sign, yada, yada, yada. Dog, you don't want my money? I got it. Peace. Two fingers, I'm good. I will go down the street where they will gladly take my dough, and I will keep it pressing. That's number one for me. Number two for me, like I just said, I'm not a violent individual. However, if that's the only language that jokers understand, then let it be. If that's what it got to be, then damn it, that's what it got to be. You know what I'm saying? And the sad thing is too many folks will stand around and talk this yibber-yabber about two wrongs don't make a right. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely 110% right. But God damn it, if you slap me and I slap your ass back, you will understand very quickly I ain't to be fucked with. I'm being real. It's like any other bully. It's like a bully on the street. A bully on the street will bully your ass every day until you knock that motherfucker in the mouth. You knock that motherfucker in the mouth, and then guess what? That bully going to step back and be like, yo, you know what? Nah, I'm good on that, yo. I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I respect you. Now, you might not whip my ass, but at least I respect you because you stood up to me and you did your thing.
Yo, so the point that I'm making is I'm not suggesting that anybody, if you're attacked by a white person, you don't defend yourself. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we don't have retaliatory violence. If somebody's in your face and you slapping back, that's one thing. But what's not happening is we're not having black people just randomly going out there and beating the hell out of white people just because.
I'm with that. I'm with that.
And that's what I'm saying.
I'm with that.
That's what I'm talking about. Because that's what's happening to us in a sense right now.
I'm not fighting you. I'm with that. I understand where you're coming from, wholeheartedly. And I agree with you. I don't think that should happen. However, like I just said, a bully will stand down once you slap that mofo in the mouth. Once you slap him in the mouth and they understand, yo, this dude ain't no joke. Yo, this just ain't no joke. Then you got it. Now, my first line of defense, as I said, clear as day, my first line of defense, hit him in the pocket. Make him hurt. The problem with that, though, is so many other folks whom are like, let's back up a second. I'm sorry, because I got a little confused. First and foremost, I don't care if it's a white person, a yellow person, a green person, a black person, a pink, a polka dot person. If that person assaults you, whip their ass. Point blank, period.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Sorry, that's it. Whip their ass. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the only way that you are going to get respect from the majority of people. Some people, mm-hmm. you don't have to do that because they really are not willing to go there. They will talk all kinds of shit. They will bark, 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 bark. But when you throw them things at them, they like, whoa, hold on, player. This was all supposed to be talk. Now, hold on. You took this thing a little too serious right now. I ain't trying to go there. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said, too, that more than likely in the beginning, I would have rolled with Brother Martin. You know what I'm saying? Without a doubt. Like, yo, let's march. Let's do this. Let's do that. You started sticking them hands on me and all that? Yeah, no. Let me holler over here, Brother Malcolm. Yo, what you say again about the enemies? You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
yeah, I'm going that right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I tried the peaceful way.
Hey, Brother Malcolm.
But now you're going to have me come back with my peace your way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I tried to be, but now you gonna have me come back and out. Let me rob a take to you, homie. Let me come over here. Let me holler at you for a minute. Let's talk for a sec. Let's rob a take. You know what I'm saying? Rob a take. Remember the other day when you threw that ball at me?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Oh, yes, sir. You know
what I'm saying? Now I got
butt.
Now I'm rocking with Brother Malcolm. Say something now, punk. You know what I mean? But hey, I've always felt the same way. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to say that I'm not a violent person, but ultimately I am. I'm much more controlled now. You know what I'm saying? I have, mm-hmm. you know, an older mind now. You know what I'm saying? I have an older body now, so therefore I ain't about that rumbling and all this stuff like that no more. But
mm-hmm.
I know how to pop off when I need to pop off.
Yes,
but
sir.
It's for me, I'd rather, in this kind of situation, If I can handle it peacefully, I'll handle it peacefully. I got kids to think about now. You know, I have a lot more to think about, opposed to, you know, 7, 10 years, well, actually, you know, 10 years ago, where I could just act, you know, reckless and do what the hell I wanted to do in a sense.
No, hold on. Stop right there. Why is that a burden upon you? You see what I'm saying? This is the problem. And we got to call Orion with
it. It's not a burden.
Hold on. We got to call Orion with it. Call him. You want to say something, hit the number one, and you can jump in on the conversation. That's cool. But why is it a burden upon you? What I mean by that is you're thinking about your kids, your job, so on and so on and so forth. But that individual, whomever that individual is, whatever that individual looks like, again, I'm not discriminatory. I don't care. Whatever that individual looks like, whomever that individual is hitting on you, going at you, and they don't have to worry about that. Why? Because this country, our society, is stacked against us and people that look like us. That's why that burden is on you. Because if that joke would come at you, right, that joke attacks you first, right? But then you turn around and you rip the fur off his ass. The sad thing is you're going to have to prove without a shadow of a doubt, with video, audio,
yeah.
20 witnesses,
yeah, you're right.
40 of which, notice what I said. I said 20 and 40. 20 witnesses,
yeah.
40 of which going to have to look more like him than you or her than you, whatever he or she looks like than you, that come through and say, no, that's not his character. He wouldn't have done that. Yeah, he wouldn't have been the agitator in this case. He wouldn't have been the instigator in this case. Yada, you, yada, yada. And so they're going to have to come and bail you out of the situation versus you getting out of that situation on your merit. So you have to run through all these checks. And because you have to run through all these checks, that's what keeps your ass in check.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps your ass in check. Because you have to run through all these checks, that's what keeps you in check. Because you do truly have more to lose than that other individual. You do. Because you understand that the burden is going to be on your shoulders versus theirs. You understand that. You understand that. And sadly, it's true. It's true. It's true, and it echoes true every time one of these cops commit a crime against people who they take their lives and they get away. That echoes true every time. Every time it resonates in your mind, in your psyche, that this is that bullshit that I'm talking about. As much as I want to believe we are more of a melting pot, as much as I want to believe we have gotten over the hump, we still have not gotten anywhere. And it's these idiots like this boy, and I'm going to get on this boy later. I don't remember his damn name, so I got to find his name. But this damn boy, that was in that vein, but on a different line. This other boy, and I don't know his name, this boy stands up during all the unrest in Charleston, and he comes out and says, and he's surrounded by white folks. From the South, that flag is my heritage. I believe in that flag. You know that boy?
Man, he was called every coon in the book, man.
I wanted to take some paper. You know, he made me feel like Training JoJo. Remember JoJo from back then? You remember
yeah.
Training JoJo? You roll on some newspaper, you just smack him aside the nose with it, like shut your ass down some goddamn way. What the hell is wrong with you? What's wrong
yeah.
with you?
Man,
hey, you don't
he
even know.
The, he
you
missed
don't
the
even know
entire
the
damn point. Yeah.
Right. You don't even know the history of that flag. First off, it's not the flag of the Confederacy. It wasn't the flag of the Confederacy at all. That flag had absolutely nothing to do with the Confederacy. That was the flag of Robert E. Lee's army. That's all it was. That's
yeah.
all it was. That's why it was painted on top of the General Lee. It was his flag. It wasn't the flag of the South. It was his flag. He rode with that thing. He used that during battles for his army so he could differentiate them between from anybody else. Come on, dog. First off, do your research. That's not open you got daggone mind. That's the number one and number two of the whole got daggone affair, for real, while you play. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, okay, so this other idiot, and I wanted to get into this because, you know, it's abbreviated shows whenever I got to work, family, so we got to get into everything that we can get into. So this other idiot, and I got to find this clown's name. And I call him a clown because he is a clown. So he goes off about fixing your plate during Thanksgiving. Fairly, did you catch that post that I put up?
I think I did. I'm trying to remember. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh,
with
don't
it.
Worry. Don't worry. I'm going to bring you up to speed real fast. So this idiot talks about it's just a plate. You should basically summarize his point. He was saying that it's basically a plate, and you can fix, men should fix their own plate at Thanksgiving. Now, my issue with that, and oh my goodness, I got a lot of feedback on that. Oh, I didn't even look at it. I got a lot of props on that. So, four reasons you can fix your own damn plate Thanksgiving. And he runs this down, and this we got to tweet him. I meant to tweet him, and I'm sorry I got caught up. That's a different story for a different time. His name is, I guess it's Josen Cummings, and he works for Twitter actually, but he does some other things. He is the author and creator of the popular relationship blog Until I Get Married, which is currently in development for a television series by WB. He also hosts a weekly podcast with WNYC. Y'all, a fam up in NY. If y'all know this joker, man, give me a call so I can get in contact with him directly. Call Empire After Party. It's a contributor at VerySmartBrothers.com and works at Twitter as an editorial curator. Follow him on Twitter. So I'm definitely going to follow him on Twitter so we can get into some conversations with him, and hopefully we can have him on sooner rather than later. But anyhow, so his tenets were, let me get into this very, very directly, that, no. It's not that hard. Portion control, you didn't cook, it's a damn plate. Now, my response to this whole thing is and was, this is why we need the man up. Because he is missing the entire point. It's not about the fixing of the plate, because anybody can fix a plate. It's about the gesture. Yeah. It's about the chivalry that we as men have to understand and accept from our women. It's about the respect that she has for us, so she is willing to serve versus being served. That's what it is about. So your dumbass, because, you know, he's youthful, so sometimes you got to excuse the youth. He's youthful. Your dumbass need to understand that it's not just about a plate player. It's about the love and respect that you have for your mate. That's what it's about, playboy. So when she goes out and fix your plate, you sit there and you gracefully say, baby, thank you. And you watch her as she walks away, as you should.
Watch
because
her.
If you see, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You looking at that thing like, well, you know.
get my plate. Look at that, get my plate. Go ahead, girl.
Let me get this plate right here. And after this plate right here, Shawty, we might need to talk about a little bit of dessert. You know, not dessert. We need to talk about a little dessert. You know what I'm saying? Now, you see, you young folk don't get that stuff because you young folk are so hell-bent on breaking away from everything that got you here that you don't recognize that there's some very good traditions out there that we need to keep lockstep with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one of them.
But I think it goes back to, you said he's a contributor to a website called Until I Get Married.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big point. It sounds like he's a single man who's never probably been in a serious relationship, who's never really probably had to share much and balance some things. He also sounds like the type of guy that once he get married, he's going to flip. He's going to come in with all this equality shit, you know, we all the same, baby, and you don't have to worry about nothing. I can do just as much as you can do. But the reality of it is men are expected to do more than women in relationships. Men are expected to do the house. You know what I'm saying? Men are expected to do more. So when he gets into a relationship, he'll see, like,
I disagree with that.
This ain't as
balanced. I disagree with that.
Okay.
I disagree that. No, seriously. I disagree with we're expected to do more. I would say that we are expected to do a lot, and we're not, the expectation is not that the gratitude needs to be shared with us. I should say the thanks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we're
supposed to do it.
Right, exactly.
And that's the point that I'm making. It's because we're supposed to do these things. You don't have to get the thanks, Negro. You're supposed to do them.
Right.
So that's
right.
You know what I'm saying? We're expected
to do something. But she knew something.
We're supposed
she
to
need
move,
to do
move
bad.
Mountains, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm
saying?
She
didn't do bad.
Out the band. Yeah.
Right. She didn't need shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't ever tell me, Tyke. You don't ever show your appreciation for me because you don't never show appreciation for me.
So that goes to your point. With those expectations and the lack of the thanks that we get, when we get these things like the making of the plate, the rubbing of the back, you know, the ironing my clothes when unexpectedly.
Twitch my head.
You know what I'm saying? When we get those things, that you feel that gratitude and that appreciation. It's not about she must do X, Y, Z. It's something that's greatly appreciated if it's done. By all means, yes, I can get up and make my plate. Sometimes I'd rather make my own plate because I don't like my collard greens touching my potato salad. I don't like my potato salad touching my chicken. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I'd rather make my own damn plate. But then there are other times where I want to be surprised by, hey, baby, sit down. Let me get your plate for you. I got your back.
You want some drink?
How many ice cubes do you want? You know what I'm saying? When I finish my plate, hey, baby, you done with that? You know what I'm saying? Hey, do you want some dessert? You want a big piece? You want a small piece? You want ice cream with that? You want a big spoon? You want a small spoon? Sometimes I want those things. But like I said, there are other times where I'm sitting back like, yo, don't touch my plate. I got my own plate. You make my plate.
Right.
Give me two plates. Put my collard greens on one plate.
You don't be giving me enough food. You don't be giving me enough food.
Yeah, don't let my shit touch, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, so he definitely missed the point, you know, and he need to get it right. But he'll figure it out once he get into a long-term relationship, you know, and somebody that's you know, that might challenge his way, his views, then, yeah, he'll change his whole tune. Then he'll be sitting there complaining about why women change and why he changed and all this stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll stay tuned. Yeah, you're going to give me his name so I can follow him, too.
Yeah. Okay, so, y'all, let's stay on Thanksgiving, if you don't mind, please. Mad shouts out everybody, and I mean every damn body, that got out their crib early in the morning and went out here and served people, dog. Straight up, 100%. You know the show is a huge supporter
Facebook,
of... Yeah, you know the show is a huge supporter of the B. Gaddy Family Center. You know what I'm saying? We always come through for them. We did our thing again this year in a lot of ways for them thus far this year, and we will continue on some other ways this year. That's a very close partnership. So thank you, Cynthia Brooks, for always having us come through, allowing us to come in and, you know, do what we can do to help you in your mission and, you know, to help those in need. But staying away from us, Miss Starr, you know, she started out with on the show with us. She's gone on doing her own thing, and a part of that mission for her was to start giving back. And she's out here rolling, man. She's really doing her thing. Mad props to her. Mad props to her because she really is doing her thing. And, you know, we've talked, and it's all peace, and it's all love, and it's all family. So I definitely want to shout her out and wish her much success and continued success in helping her in helping doing her thing. My man Paul. And his wife, she has an organization called It Suits You. Yeah, It Suits You. And they had their annual tie and shirt drive. You know, appreciate that. Their focus is on ex-offenders coming home, trying to get them the clothing that they need, not only for interviews, but just in general for life. You know what I'm saying? So definitely part of that as well. And I need to toot the horn a little bit, but not a lot, because this is not about us. This is about them. So I definitely want to do that. You know, shouts out also to my alumni association. Unfortunately, we lost a family member just the other day in the house fire here in Baltimore. and we jumped in and did our thing to help that family as they transitioned through this difficult time, because it was a whole family that was affected during the fire. And if you all have never lived through something like that, take it from somebody who has. It's not a game, yo. That is not a joke. That is one of the scariest things in life. That happened to me some, I want to say at this point, 22, 23 years ago. And I promise you, it has changed my life still to this day, just on simple things like how I sleep, you know. And I mess with my brother all the time. I was like, yo, I've never seen the dude, but he tells me all the time he sleeps naked. I'm like, yo, how could you do that? Especially living through what we lived through. Like, I can't do that. I could never sleep naked again. Even if I wanted, I'm always going to sleep in at least some shorts, not boxer shorts, but actually short shorts, and a T-shirt. Just because if I ever had to scramble out that door again, I want to have something on my body that's going to keep me from freezing. Because the last time it happened, it was actually it was the springtime. So it wasn't that bad on cold outside. But still, you know, I mean, seriously, man, that thing will definitely change how you view almost any and everything. So I've been cognizant of that throughout my life. But for the sisters and brothers of all the fraternal organizations, for those of us, for those on the square and in that life, thank you all for contributing to the Corvette Club. You
and
all came out, did your thing. Yeah, man. Dude, you came out, did your thing. I mean, everybody who did that thing. Look, J. Wendell Gordon had a gas giveaway the other day. You know, mad shouts out to you, Jay. Always, brother, mad love. Appreciate you and everything you do in the community, not only with getting these folks the justice that they deserve, but also with giving back like you do. That's what's up. You know, Russell Neverdon was in the community the other day. Marquise Dent was in the community the other day. I can go on and on and on and on, and I won't. I just wanted to give a generic shout-out to everybody that did their thing. Very important, man. And, you know, I didn't understand the power of that until about 5, maybe 6 years ago. One day, I was looking at my son, his lazy ass, and I was like, you know what? This ain't going to happen. We are not just going to sit around here for Christmas. Like, you got to get up and do something. So I decided to take him down to Bugatti, and we volunteered our time. And, dog, there has been very few things in my life that have been worthy of my time like that. I felt great. It was an amazing day. I worked my ass off. You hear me? I worked my ass off, but I had so much fun. So much fun. It truly is so much fun in giving that it became contagious. I'm always down there. Cynthia and I stay in contact. You know what I'm saying? I will call her out the blue. Like, no, look, I'm riding around. I ain't got nothing to do. Who you got? What you need? What they need? You know what I'm saying? You got girls. You got boys. What you got? Who needs what? I'm going to the store right now. Just grab it, take it over there, and keep it pushing. It's not about the receipts for tax time. It's not about, you know, me being able to say this shit on air right now. It's not about that. It's really about giving someone an opportunity that I have daily. You know what I'm saying? Be it an opportunity to put a coat on, be it an opportunity to put some new shoes on, be it an opportunity to put a new shirt on, whatever that opportunity is. You know, take some of that pressure off of their shoulders and put it somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? They can take that off and be like, hey, I ain't got to deal with this. Somebody came through, hooked me up, so now I can take those resources and deal with this and knock that boulder down to a pebble, and then take that time, energy, effort, resources, and go to the next boulder and knock that down, and so on and so forth. You dig what I'm saying?
I'm definitely feeling it, man. And it's something you never get tired of. It's just, when you love it, when you're doing it for the good reason, you never get tired of it. You know what I mean? You could be dog tired leading into it, and then you just feel refreshed and energized when you start it because you see the impact that you're making. You see the smiles. You get the thanks. It's nothing like someone humbly coming to you saying, thank you, bro. You know, I appreciate everybody coming down here. You know, we look forward to this every year. You know, when you have those things happen to you, it really reinforces you know, the blessings that, that you receive in your life, man. And I never get tired of it, man. Like, again, I could be cold, dog tired leading into it. And as soon as I get into the building, as soon as I get to where I'm supposed to be at, I heat up, you know, I energize, I'm refreshed, I'm up, I'm white, I'm wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, and I'm ready to work. And then I keep working, I keep working, I keep working until everybody's satisfied, until the last person's gone, and then I go ahead and crash. You know what I'm saying? I crash with a smile on my face, knowing that I made an impact in somebody's life, even if it's just for that one day. But most of the time, when you're doing these things, it opens doors to other things that help people long-term. And again, you never, ever, ever get tired of it if you really love doing it and you enjoy doing it. So, again, man, like you said, big shout-out to the, to all those people out there who make this their everyday life. I wish I could do it every day, and that's my goal. I'm working on some things now to make it an everyday part of my life. And again, big shout-out to those people who have the ability to make it their everyday mission to make those impacts. Like I said, last show, I'm really working on this a brand now with He is Greater Than I, because I really think that those four characters spoke volumes to me, man. I think this is something that we all need to really adapt in our lives, that the next person is greater than myself. If I can help the next person, it's better. You know, it's better for me along the way.
Okay, so moving right along to Colorado. Now, I hope they don't blame the weed on this, because, you know, on almost every other thing, they blame the alcohol, so hopefully they don't blame the weed. But there was an active shooter at a Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado. Now, why is Colorado the hotbed for all these shooting incidents that states the hell out of me? You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful state. It's very flat. Yeah, it gets cold. It snows. But it's Denver is clean. Denver is so clean. It's like, wow. Denver reminds me very close to being back in Europe. As clean to be as clean as it is. It's a very efficient city. The job market is robust. I don't understand why so many jokers are going nutso out there in Colorado. But
it might have something to do with the elevation. It might have something to do with the elevation. You know. Destroy their brain a little bit, man. I have no idea. I tried to make sense out of it, but you know, it's something. It says something about, again, the number of violent acts that's taking place in Colorado. But then it goes back to gun control, and Colorado's a really big supporter of everybody just having weapons. You know what I'm saying? They're not a big supporter of gun control. They just say, you know, these are your rights. You know, we want to protect your rights. They might want to start looking at, you know, improving that gun control law. But who knows?
Yo, a comedian said something. It's like, we have one incident with a shoe bomber, and it didn't actually happen. And every time you go to the airport now, you got to take off your damn shoes.
You got to take off your damn shoes.
We had 20. Right, we had 20 mass shootings and nothing. Yeah, I love guns. Hey, I'm a shooter. That's what I do.
They feel so good. It feels so good when you can lick off a couple of rounds, man, and see that bad boy going for that target. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But you get a great appreciation for it, man.
Right. But however, there are some gun control laws that I totally would support. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The sad thing is, we can't even have the conversation about this because the NRA is funneling so much dough to so many people. It ain't happening. It's just not happening. But we can't have a conversation about this. Now, illegal guns are always going to be sold, just like illegal drugs, just like illegal liquor, so on and so forth. It's always going to happen. But we can get to a point where we are better than we are today. We can if we're willing to have the conversation. With us not being willing to have the conversation, then we will never get there. We will never get there. The definition of being insane is doing the same shit over and over again and expecting different results. Folks, we are insane if we believe that things are going to change without us being able to have a robust and all-inclusive conversation about gun control. We are insane. We are insane. If you think the government is so hell-bent Now let me finish, and I'm gonna let you get it. If you think the government is so hell bent on taking your property, taking your land, invading your mind, so on and so forth, do all of us a favor. Move. There are plenty of countries in which this is not even. You don't trust the government that much. Okay, move. Retire and move. So move. Go on with your bad self. There are other countries around the world that will be more than welcome to welcome you, more than happy to have you. You will still be an American citizen. You don't have to denounce your citizenship. Just move. Do your thing, Playboy. Make a move. Do your thing. Go ahead, Sam. Say what you're going to say.
Well, it just speaks to the ignorance of people who try to defend the current gun control laws. You know, they're so hell-bent on, again, I want to protect my rights, they're missing the big picture. You know, a lot of these people who are about keeping the same gun control laws never experience violence, you know, never experienced gun violence. They've never experienced being shot at outside of being in the military. Of course, I'm not talking about soldiers, you know, who serve in the military, who've been to war. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who are on the streets every single day, walking peacefully throughout your life, who've never been shot at, never heard that slide click, you know what I'm saying, never felt that heat, or never dealt with losing somebody through gun violence. So that's number one for me. Number two, so you're blinded by that. You haven't experienced that. Then on top of that, you're not understanding the politics, like you said, that's behind the reason why gun control laws are not being spoken about like they should be. When you compare, like you said, with a shoe bomb, nobody's invested in making shoe bombs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, by all means, we can stop that. We can play all kinds of interference. Like you said, we go to the airport, take the shoes off, inconvenience you. We can do all kinds of stuff to inconvenience that. But if you start messing with my bread, we have problems. And it's not one person. Yeah. It's not two people. It's hundreds or thousands of people who get kickbacks from these gun manufacturers and from these ammunition manufacturers, and, you know, who stand to lose a lot of money if we change our gun control law. So the people who are in support of keeping the gun control laws now, they're not in tune with what's really going on. They're so far detached from reality, and they're choosing to listen to the right wing side of the situation where, hey, they're trying to take away your rights and they're trying to control your lives, and like you said, they want to take your land and do this and do that. Nobody's saying that you can't have weapons. We want to control who gets weapons and how easy it is for people to get weapons. But with all that said, it's really not going to change much because most of the people who get these weapons now will get them on a black market. I know all these people in Baltimore who have guns, I'm sure they're not going to a gun shop and applying for an application and getting a license and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So the people still will be able to get guns.
All right, so three people were killed. One was a police officer. Nine people were injured. The shooter was captured.
Actually, I think it's up to 20 now, right?
Okay, but the shooter was captured.
Mm-hmm.
He was captured. He wasn't killed. He was captured. He wasn't killed. He was captured. Laquan McDonald, he had a knife. He was walking away. This is an active shooter. This is an active shooter. He was captured.
But you know what,
how did this happen?
But check it. What they would say is they're trying to get it right. We can't continue to let this happen. But then next week, it happens to another black man, and they say, I was in fear for my life. Then a week after that, another white guy goes in and shoots somebody up. Hey, we're trying to get it right. You know what I'm saying? And they practice these statements, man. Again, they got press secretaries and stuff like that. People write their speeches. They know what to say, what not to say. They know how to get, you know, the heat off of them. Whether they believe it or not, they know what to say to get the heat off of them. So that's what they say. You know, the reason why he wasn't killed was because we de-escalated the situation. We got him to calm down, and, you know, we can't have another Laquan McDonald on our hands, so this is why we carried it out the way we carried it out. Next week, another black kid walking down the street with a box cutter or some oil lighter or some crap. He's flicking a freaking lighter. Then somebody was going to start using a light blowtorch. You know what I'm saying? And
oh,
he was shooting 27 times.
Okay, so a young lady, was this in California? Young lady came home, right? She locked the keys in the house. She called the locksmith or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So this winds up with a neighbor, not immediate neighbor, but someone who lived in the complex that she lives in, called the cops. 19 police officers responded to her dwelling. 19 responded to her dwelling. They,
one potential robber, 19 police cars.
One 19 policemen.
Potential.
They get her out. They obviously, you know, they rough her up. They ask her a million and one questions. She responds. She remains calm. She tells them the whole story. She's willing to show them a receipt from the locksmith earlier in the day. They're really not trying to hear what she has to say. And she you know, how does that even happen? So she finds out sometime later that they actually dispatched more police out to our home. They all didn't show up, though, to this lady. You know, she was inside chilling. She was inside chilling. You know, she heard a knock on the door. She asked who it was. She was like, not a lot of people come. No, I think she – did she or did she ask who it was?
No, I'm saying she answered the door. That's the point that I'm making.
Right.
She's a potential robber.
Right. But she answers the door.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the whole ordeal, and she's like, yo, what just happened? You know what I'm saying? Again, though, not an immediate neighbor. Someone who lived in the complex, but like the next building over, didn't recognize her. So they called the cops, and this is what happened. Yo, man, come on, dog. 2015. Almost 2016. And we still going through this. Didn't we have enough of this with Skip Gate? I mean, seriously, didn't anybody pay attention to the videotape with Professor Gate? You know what I'm saying? Harvard professor in his home, chilling. He gets, it's a similar situation, though. He gets locked out. He comes home. He gets back into the house. He's chilling. He provides our, and he's still gets roughed up. Really? Really? Like, no lessons from any of this. Okay.
But the thing about right. it, man, like I said last week, we're seeing it's increasing.
Yes.
You know, ever since black people started to speak out against
I disagree with that. It's not increasing.
You're right.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. Now there's more video. So now, you know what I'm saying, where folks would say before, well, you know, like Eazy-E said, oh, those people are resisting arrest. No, now I have a video that says we were not resisting arrest. This joker came up on me with no provocation whatsoever and just started harassing me. And now it's not my word against yours. Now it's this videotape and my word against yours. But sadly, still, that usually is worth nothing because you are a sworn officer, so you're still going to get off easy. You know what I'm saying?
They try to poke holes in stories and stuff like that. Like now, the lawyer for the cop who killed Laquan McDonald is saying that he said the video is distorted.
It's two-dimensional.
And it doesn't tell the... Yeah, it's two-dimensional and it doesn't tell the whole damn story. Bro, ballistics show that every round came from your client's weapon. The video shows that Laquan McDonald was on the ground after the second shot, so he hit him 14 times after he was hit on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't no damn two-dimensional video, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
you can't, don't try to poke. Go ahead, finish,
and I'm going to jump in with my beat. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to try to poke holes in it and say about he having PCP in the system and he had a knife. So what? The fact of the matter is he wasn't attacking you. He wasn't a threat. You shot this man 14 times after he was on the ground. The first two shots, justified. I got it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you can justify that. I'll say that you can try to justify that. But the 14 shots after he was on the ground, you can't dispute that shit. So now I want to see what they're going to say about the video. I want to see what they're going to say about the video that came from Burger King that surfaced 2 days ago.
Here's my beef. Okay. So it's two-dimensional. All right, so now all the brothers, white, black, brown, yellow, green, whatever their color, that are on death row because of the video, they need to get retried because that was only two-dimensional. You don't understand the context of what was going on, you know? Like, yeah, no. See, Your Honor, what happened was that was two-dimensional. See, the third dimension is not what you understood it to be. So let's go on and let's retry this. Let's reaccept this situation right here because it's only two-dimensional right now. So I need you to understand the third and then the fourth dimension as to what was going on when I allegedly robbed this individual.
Like,
so that's what's going on there.
Like, Mr. Vaughn, Mr. Vaughn, you've been charged with attempted murder, allegedly, Your Honor. Allegedly, attempted murder. And that video was distorted.
Right. It's only two of this.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving. All right, so let's wrap it up with sports. So Golden State is now 17-0.
17-0. They're killing
it. 17-0. Them boys are what we call ballin'. They are straight balling. Like, they are so hot right now. It's sickening. They killing them, though. They are killing the game. They are straight killing the game. And congratulations to them.
And it does not look like they can be beat. That's the thing about it. Like, teams have thrown everything at them. They've been down by 20-plus points at the end of the third quarter and end up winning by 30. You know, these dudes, man, looks like they cannot be beat.
Let's not talk about the players on the court. Let's be honest with you. Can you imagine being Luke Russell right now? So, Luke, how did you all look? I'm sorry, Luke Walton. I apologize. Yeah, Luke Walton right now. So I just told the guys to go out there and, you know, do their best. Yo, this dude is undefeated as a head coach. You going out of your record books as the first head coach to go 17-0. Dog, you just graduated from college. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been out of college for about 8 years, maybe.
Yeah.
And seriously, this dude just came from playing in the league. He just came from playing in the league. He's been removed from the league for, what, 2-3 years, maybe? And
yeah,
he's
maybe.
The head coach.
I think last year was his first year coaching.
Thank you. Of the first team in NBA history that's gone 17-0. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Well,
he just told him to go ball, man.
right. So, look, this is what happened, right? So what happened when you were down by 12? You know, I called the timeout. And I talked to the guys. I'm like, really? Really? You really running that huddle, dog? Well, you sitting there like, yo, what y'all think we should do?
Hey, y'all tell me, you know, so I just hear the smile and look good for the camera. So,
yeah,
hey,
I mean,
hey,
look good for the camera.
Hey, Steph, what you want to do? What you got, man?
You know what I'm saying? But look, continue on. How about them damn Panthers? Some Carolina Panthers, dog. 10-0. Defense looks like they copied it from Baltimore because that defense is stingy as hell. Offense is clicking on all cylinders. That dude, Cam Newton, is killing them. Cam is killing them from in the pocket,
balling.
and then they don't know if he's going to rope-a-dope them and run out of them. I mean, dog. This is Russell Wilson-esque right now. Seriously, this is Seattle Seahawks 3 seasons ago. They look so good right now. It is scary how good they look. You know what I'm saying?
And
then the Cheetahs
the
are still
10-0. He looks better than Russell Wilson doing it. This dude is 6'5", 250 pounds. And he run like a damn gazelle at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
Like the boy, he's killing. And that's what's pissing me off about this whole debate between him and Tom Brady being an MVP. Stephen A. Smith went on a record saying that he thinks that Tom Brady's the MVP because Tom Brady's putting up bigger numbers than Cam Newton.
Mm.
Tom Brady still has Julian Edelman. Tom Brady still has Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Tom still has the dude that used to play for the Carolina Panthers. I can't remember his name for some reason. It's in my lab on life.
The fact of the matter
is he has weapons.
I know you're talking about. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Amendola.
He has another guy. It's a black dude. He used to play for Carolina. Oh, man, I can't remember his name for some reason.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is Cam Newton only has Olsen.
And Cam Newton.
That is it. And Cam Newton and himself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So of course Tom Brady's going to be putting up hellacious numbers compared to Cam Newton. But we're talking about an MVP of the league. You talk about somebody who's dynamic in every aspect of the league. Cam Newton is a philanthropist. He's a mentor. He's a role model. Nobody ever thought that he would be a role model before. You know what I'm saying? And he's a leader inside the team, on the field, and in the locker room. So you can't tell me that this guy does not deserve to be the MVP because his numbers don't match up to Tom Brady's numbers.
Well,
right
I'll
now,
tell you
like,
damn sure,
Cam is bringing a spark right now.
I tell you who damn sure will not be the MVP, and that's Joe Flacco. For the first time in his career, Joe Flacco is hurt and out. He has never missed a start in his entire career. This is the first for him. I think this is the best thing for the Ravens, to be 100% honest with me. It's going to show.
No, it's not the best damn thing, dude. No,
it's not the best thing
because we got rid of Tyrod Taylor.
It's going to show. You never let me finish. It's going to show who they really are. And it's going. Yeah, I know you weren't. And it's going to show that they never should have got rid of Tyrod Taylor. That was what I was going to say. But, hey, you know what I'm saying? And I want to end on this note, massive respect to number four. The Green Bay Packers retired Brett Favre's number the other day. Bert Starr was there. That really was what's up. You know, he's an older cat now, much older, dealing with a lot of health issues. He came out to support Brett and to show his love and appreciation. It was cold. It was rainy. It was windy. It was Green Bay in November. It was a great game. Unfortunately, Green Bay lost, but it was a great game. And it seemed like there's finally some closure and some peace between Brett and the organization. So, I'm very happy for him. You know, as a player, I always respected his talent. Later on, I really respected him as a man, for real, because he went through it, man. You know what I'm saying? But that dude, man, and I love me some Joe Montana, without a doubt, but I would put Brett Favre on the field any day of the week, because, you know, he's going to grit it out. He's going to grind it. He's going to grit it. He's going to give you 100% all of the time. He's going to throw some interceptions. You know what I'm saying? But, it's like the battle between Eli and Peyton. I would always pick Eli over Peyton because, Eli seems to be more of a team player. Now, you know, folks point to, Peyton did this and Peyton did that and Peyton has, okay, look, D, here we go. You're still talking about Peyton. Everything goes Peyton. When Eli comes out, Eli gives you that sense that it's the New York Giants.
New York Giants, yeah, all day.
It's the New York Giants. The New York Giants is the New York Giants is that. It's not Eli Manning did this. No, it's the Eli, the New York Giants did this. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Eli Manning was the quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to me, especially in the game now, with all this ego and all this money, that shit turns people off. You know what I mean? Peyton this, Peyton that. It turns people off. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
They're actually suggesting that
Kubiak is done with Peyton Manning. He's done with the circus that's around Peyton Manning, and you know, I don't think the way it's looking at it is that Gary Kubiak isn't a Peyton Manning jock rider. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So many coaches and so many people have ridden Peyton Manning's jock for so long, Peyton Manning seems like he thinks he's bigger than the game.
Right.
And it's not his fault necessarily, you know, but I think at this point, Coach Kubiak is like, yo, whatever, this is my team. You're sucking right now. You hurt your old. We're going to go ahead and move forward with this young guy. Thank you for what you did. Now you're done.
Appreciate you.
You know what I'm saying?
So if
that's the case, it's a bold statement by Kubiak. But, yeah, I think he's done. I mean, he's not a jock rider of Peyton Manning, it seems. And it's about time for that steam to run out, because Peyton Manning has always proved – he's always shown that bravado, like, he's bigger than the game or he's bigger than the league.
Right.
And, dude, you're not. Like, you haven't done anything, to be honest with you. You've broken some records. But when it's showtime, You're a choke
artist. You fold.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're actually right there along with freaking Tony Romo when it comes down to choking. So I would rather debate between who's the biggest choke artist between you and Tony Romo, Peyton Manning. Not who's the greatest QB, because I don't think that Tony Romo, I mean, I don't think that Peyton Manning should be, you know, is considered the greatest QB. He's considered as one of the greatest QBs, but he's not the greatest QB. So, again, like you said, Eli Manning over Peyton Manning all day long. But, hey, real quick, I got to point this out. I know it's kind of early still, but my Terrapins are number two in the nation, and Duke is number six. We got North Carolina coming up pretty soon. So, it's going to be a tough game, I think, just because of the elements. We got a lot of freshmen starting. That's all. I hope we pull it out against North Carolina and make good things happen. But what you got, man?
You all have a good week. We appreciate you for tuning in. I'm going to leave you with your pipe dream. We will see you next week. Until then, you all be good. Be safe.
Yeah.
Peace.
Holla.
Bye now.